Blog Talk Radio.
Comment ça va? Ça va bien? I hope we're all ça va bien. Darlings, it's Mummy Sybil Brunchen, and I'm coming to you live right now. We're broadcasting internationally, but I'm going to give you a surprise. Last week, I claimed, as I always do, that we're broadcasting to you live from high atop the Chrysler Building in the Cafe Berlin Ballroom, that revolving ballroom high atop that pointy Art Deco tower in the Chrysler Building. And I always say that we're broadcasting there. And in fact, Gwendolyn Holdenberry, my producer and the chairwoman of the board, is in fact there with the whole crew, and the restaurant is there, and people are dancing under the stars. It's so glamorous. But Mummy is, again, not in the tower. I was in my own kitchen cooking last week, as you know, during the show. And this week, I'm in Minneapolis. It is absolutely freezing here. You people in New York think it's chilly. Oh, my dears. These Minnesota folks are made out of stainless steel and Waterford crystal. They are just as – you can see right through them. They're like ice, ice with steel girders for bones. And this is nothing. They are a bunch of softies compared to the Fargo people. I was in Fargo earlier this week, over the weekend, and my goodness, they make they actually make Minnesotans, North Dakotans make Minnesotans, oh, there's a little poem in there, isn't there, make them look like George Hamilton with his permatan and his white linen suit. I mean, Minnesotans have no use for the Fargo people. They say, they're unbelievable. They're not even alive anymore. For those of you that saw Game of Thrones, if you've never been to North Dakota or South Dakota or Montana, the people there look like the ice people in Game of Thrones with the strange blue eyes and everything. They want to be friendly, but really they're ice people and they're terrifying. I'm coming to you from Minnesota right now. I'm looking out over a beautiful night sky. The sun sets here at 2:30 in the afternoon, but it rises at 12 noon. So we have a lovely 2.5 hour day. It's unbelievable. It's dark here almost perpetually now. This is in fact, come now, don't sulk. We are part of the Here Be Monsters network, and we broadcast to you on Blog Talk Radio. Our sponsors each week for this program are daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis, ISIS.com. That's all one word. Do check out their products and their site, their website on your laptop. They are wonderful. And Gwendolyn is not only my producer and my muse and my football coach and my psychiatrist, but she also is the founder and the head chemist, or whatever the what would the feminine be? The chemistryatrix of daughtersofisis.com. Gwendolyn, it's cold. The nights
it's
have lengthened into 12-hour things. What? What fragrance do you have that can warm us by our sad little kindling fires in the caves of the north? What as we huddle around our caves and with the paintings on the wall of bison and everything? What can we warm our spirits and souls with that you've got?
I've got a wonderful blend. I have to tell you about my good friend out in San Francisco, actually Oakland. Who is one of the Brown Berets out there. He's a activist, somebody who stands up for the downtrodden, and his handle is Zycano. And I said, Zycano, it's Xycano, Wycano. And I said, well, what does that mean? Well, he's like, Gwen, don't you know that's me, that's my people, we're Mexican Americans, and you know, he gave me the whole beautiful background of the Maya, Aztec, you know, Huacano tribes that live in Northern California. And it's a blend I made up for him to make one of my little incense boxes with. And it's very warm. It's cassia with cinnamon leaf and red sandalwood and motherwort. And it's got Nag Champa oil in it and beautiful Strax resin. It's sweet, it's warm, and it's comforting. And we need that right now. We need warmth. We need comfort, and we need to know that that SOB in Washington is going down hard with his cronies.
And by the way, we need a fragrance of some sort that's going to throw that damn Mercury back out of retrograde and moving forward. I'm telling you, I don't know what's going on with this Mercury. A week from tomorrow?
No, 2 days, and we're out of it.
Wednesday.
We're out of it. The umbra will still be mildly around for another week, but we're out of the Ginger Rogers dancing backwards in high heels Mercury retrograde.
I loved all the news stories showing little Mercury passing across the face of the sun. Those were absolutely enchanting.
Yeah.
Mercury looked like a bed bug. It was so tiny. It looked like a little bed bug crossing the mattress of the sun. But still, it was very charming, and it's good to know that by...
When you consider how blue the planet is, you know, it's very blue, and it's going across the face of the sun. Yes, it did look like a dot just moving across the sun.
It's tiny. And I also marveled that that Mercury was moving across the bottom of the sun. I always think it's fascinating that we're not actually on a plane where we're on the equator of the sun, that some of the planets are moving around the sun, not at the equator, not at the widest point of the sun. They're sort of off kilter from that, but that's a whole nother story. This fragrance sounds wonderful, and I want to just point out to the audience that this is new for you. You're doing incense as a new product line with daughtersofisis.com.
Yes, hand rolled. I sit with my wooden bowl, which is mother's old 1950s wooden salad bowl. And I sit with it seasoned with a lot of years of incense making. But I always make my incense that goes in a little jar, and I still make that. But these are the dupe style. They're hand-rolled and pressed, and it takes time, and it takes effort. It's good exercise for my hands. And I sit, and I put an intention and a good energy into it, and I make them up, and I stand them up and watch them, you know, on their... I have these beautiful teak wood trays that we got out in California some years ago, just huge trays to put all our products on it, INATs and stuff. And I've got one large tray with little clumps of different types all drying behind me. And I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of it. Did a good job. And,
does the kitchen smell? Does your laboratory slash kitchen smell special with those incenses there?
I've got everybody in the house burning incense, and I think my sister's favorite so far is a cross between. I did a Ghost Dancer blend, which I ground up white sage and sweetgrass, and I put some maca powder into it. And then I threw a bunch of Bulgarian lavender essential oil in there and some juniper berries crushed up in there with some juniper berry essential oil. And I rolled it, and made it into little cones. And my sister says it's just absolutely lovely. And she burned the little cone, and it burned. It's one of the ones because it has so much herb in it. It burned very fast, like within 3-5 minutes. And she said her room smelled like that for 2 days. I was like,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to point out to the audience at home, especially the cinemaphiles, all those people that love movies. One of the things that I absolutely adore about doing the show every Monday, and I do adore doing this show, it's been one of the loveliest things that's fallen into my lap in the last 2 years, is listening to Gwendolyn, whose age shall remain unmentioned, by the way, but who is my contemporary. So I just want you to know that she is my contemporary, but to listen to her, and she literally becomes a cross between an 8-year-old girl in Girl Scouts who's getting her badge in alchemy. So she's got all that excitement mixed with all I can describe as Ernest Thesiger from Bride of Frankenstein, who's in the laboratory and is talking to Victor Frankenstein and saying, no, Victor, we're going to make a woman. Can you imagine? And all of that excitement. Now, if you don't know who Ernest Thesiger is, or Thesiger, he's one of my favorite character actors. And literally, Gwendolyn gives an Ernest Thesiger performance every time she talks about the newest products. I couldn't be more in love. I just couldn't. When you hear enthusiasm like this for someone's creativity, when you hear someone making things with her hands and her heart and her mind and her soul, and she chuckles, and her voice gets all husky. She gets all husky. You can hear she's talking normally, and then she starts talking, and she says, and then I took the white lily, and I put it in with the cinnamon. It's like, oh, my gosh. If the witches at the beginning of Macbeth had only been more appealing, it's the same energy when they go, Eye of Newton, Toad of Frog. This is such great energy. And this is the stuff that banishes cancer. People at home, make some brownies or, you know, make your own Christmas cards or dip your candles. If you can't make fragrances and do chemistry like Gwendolyn is, pull out a Betty Crocker box of yellow cake and some chocolate and make that and do it with the same intention, which is the operative word that Gwendolyn used 5 minutes ago. I do it with intention. Do it with intention. Make things with intention and live forever. I can't give you better advice than that. Gwendolyn is a living example of doing things and making magic, which she then sends out into the world. So she's not even making cookies and then eating them in the privacy of her own pantry. She's making these things and sending them out. I mean, although I do have to say the operative word also was hand rolled. And I want you to know at home that when you buy these products, you're not to smoke them. Okay, I know Gwendolyn hand rolls them, but please try not to smoke them. Allow them to imbue a beautiful fragrance and spirit in your home. But for God's sakes, don't pick one up and smoke it like a joint, because you'll go on a very different trip if you do that.
you know, and you should. It's funny you should say. I was dared by a friend who said, "Well, if I bring you over a bag, will you mix me up something that will aerate my bedroom?" I said, "Absolutely," and the cost.
It's a shame really good grass is so expensive, because you could come up with a whole fragrance line and a whole incense line of once we decontrol all of this stuff and make it, you know.
In Mexico, you can buy hand rolls. Yeah, what do they call those things? It's not like the Jamaican spliffs. But it's similar, and you can just light them, and they aerate the room.
That's fascinating. And then just entertain the whole party. Then it becomes a whole party. People used to throw pot parties, but they weren't like having people just walk into the house and be able to breathe. All right, well, listen, let's get to the show. I want to remind everybody, this is Herbie Monsters, the Herbie Monsters studio. This is Come Now, Don't Sell. I am Sybil Brunson. This is Gwendolyn Holdenberry, my producer. We are produced by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Do try their products, and they have 500 things on their website now, so do try those. Go there and shop for Christmas there. You will not be disappointed. Our phone number in the studio is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. And you can find us on SybilSez.com. That's Sybil, S-E-Z, SybilBrunson.com. And the Lollipop Guild, Sybil Brunson's Lollipop Guild, on Facebook, where only happy things are posted. And you can also find Mummy on her YouTube channel and Instagram and on Twitter. Enough of that. Well, what do we talk about? Last week we talked about nice things. Yes, I'm going to acknowledge a couple of things, and Gwendolyn, you jump in when you feel like it. Record shootings. Since last Monday, I think we've had 32 record shootings around the country. I mean, the shootings now are cascading over each other. People at Starbucks or, you know, local restaurants, they turn to each other and they go, wait a minute, there was a Walmart one, or there was a Costco one, or there was a Walmart and a Costco, were there two at a Costco? And then there was one at a football party, and then there's this and there's that. They try and do, if you did a map of the United States with shootings, just 1 week's of shootings would be like pins all over the map. A policeman came on the air just about an hour ago and said, a police sergeant said that there have been 44 shootings, mass shootings, in California alone in 2019. 44 mass shootings. To me, and I just wish we'd call a spade once and for all, a mass shooting, in my opinion, is domestic terrorism. So I wish we'd stop using different terms for different things so that we make Republican senators feel nicer about it, or that orange furor. Let's call a shooting in a parking lot or a school or a post office or a McDonald's shootings in this country that involve someone shooting at people, random. Not in a living room, a husband kills his wife, not that. When people go to a public place and begin to shoot and hit innocent people and, you know, people that they hate and then people that they didn't know, that's a mass shooting. That is domestic terrorism. Yeah. It is domestic because it's here, and it is terrifying, therefore it's terrorism. So there we go. So, and let's also be honest about something. 99% of our domestic terrorism is not done by brown people. It's not done by people who have a dot in the middle of the forehead or wearing a turban or have an accent. Most of our domestic violence of this sort is done white by friend. White people, and they are white people born here, and they are usually, sadly, Christian people with family values. So most of these mass shootings are people who are heterosexual, who claim that LGBTQ people and transgender people and dot in the forehead people, Hindus and Buddhists are the same thing, Muslims are the same as Sikhs, everyone is the same if they're other than white and straight and whatever. And this is what we're dealing with. So when we get frightened of people, I would like to ask you, at the end of this 2019, and as we draw to the end of this decade, this second decade of the 21st century, the new millennium, I would like us to start to really call a spade and say, the person I'm most afraid of, let's try this at home right now. The person I'm most afraid of, you can follow along with Mummy, I'll say it all together at home, is a white person walking towards me at a Costco or a Walmart or in a movie theater. Let's just be honest. 99% of the time, the person who you should mostly be afraid of is some white person, apparently so far a guy, a white straight man, usually older, 30 or older, and that's the person you should most be afraid of. And by the way, white people, you can include yourselves in being the people you're more in danger. So black people listening to me, Hispanic, Latino people, yeah, you should be afraid of white people, but white people, you are more in danger at the hands of another white person because they're the ones who are more likely to pull out a gun and start shooting in the movie theater or in Las Vegas at the rock concert or wherever. So let's just be really honest. Whatever color you are in more danger at the hands of a white person walking towards you.
Children.
Let's be quiet with that for a second. That just let's think about that. Wow. Imagine a white man, 30 or older, is more likely to kill you than just about any other demographic. That includes the Afghanistani guy who begged to get in this country with his family and is driving a cab 18 hours a day. He's less likely to harm you. The black person walking towards you on the sidewalk at night when you've gone to the deli to pick up a sandwich at 11 o'clock at night, the black person walking towards you is less likely to shoot you or kill you than a white person doing it. I'm broadcasting to you right now, and my hair is standing on end, having to say that and think it and believe it. Okay? So there's your Thanksgiving nice, warm, fuzzy wishes for you. You know? I'm sorry, but sometimes mommy has to talk to you like a mother, like a concerned mother at the dinner table. And if you're my children and I'm serving you dinner tonight, I'm telling you, children, please, when you go out tonight and you're walking around, I want you to really watch out, because the white guy walking towards you could very well, demographically, statistically, be the one who just shoots you because he's mad about his wife, his mistress, his dog, his job, his non-job, whatever. Okay, there you go. That's that headline. Prince Andrew, Jeffrey Epstein. How many of my home audience thinks Jeffrey Epstein was a suicide? Yeah, I have a Brooklyn Bridge I could sell you too. I'm sorry. This is going to end up being like an I, Claudius episode. It is so bizarre that they would allow a man, quote unquote, on suicide watch to be alone in his cell long enough for him to then attempt suicide again, blah, 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 whatever that story is. It's nonsense. And I just was talking to my wonderful producer, Gwendolyn, before we went on the air, and I was saying, I can't believe that we haven't had other strange, unexplained, or sort of explained deaths over the last 2 years involving fringe characters on this administration, this political party, this whole thing. It's like, if Jeffrey Epstein's death wasn't convenient and all-encompassing, it's amazing what disappeared with him.
The motorcade did have to pull in to Walter Reed on Saturday.
Say that again?
The motorcade had to pull in to Walter Reed on Saturday. Caught crosswise, I guess.
Apropos of Agatha Christie. I love Agatha Christie murder mysteries. And apropos of, oh, God, I hate being senile. Who's the man that writes all the wonderful CIA thrillers that Harrison Ford played?
Tom Clancy, yes.
Right? Clancy? Okay, yes. Tom Clancy. Maybe he is working on this novel. But this is what I'm going to say, and I know I'm sorry. What?
He's gone. He crossed on us.
Clancy died.
Yeah, about 4 years ago. I wouldn't miss that. I'm a big Clancy fan. I've read everything. And I'm a big Jack Ryan fan. Yes.
John, okay, so Le Carré, is it John Le Carré? Is the British one who's 90 now. And he was just on the CBS morning show being interviewed. I'm telling you that either Clancy should channel a novel from the other side through my Ouija board, or John Le Carré should write, or maybe I should sit down and write it. If someone were brilliant and wanted to write a novel, they should write one right now in which the Republican Party, with or without Putin, with or without the British royal family, with I don't know who you'd want to get, but certainly Pence should be behind it, should consider if they assassinated the president at this point and made it look, first of all, he'd be out of their way. So that would be that inconvenience. And secondly, if they made it look like the left had done it, it would be the most brilliant coup of all time, because they would martyr the president. They'd make him a figure of martyrdom, which would galvanize these unraveling red states. The unraveling red voters are beginning to fray at the edges. So are the blue voters. Where the blue voters now have three new candidates for this week. Instead of what I love is that the primaries and the debates are supposed to winnow the field and get it smaller. And the Democrats being so contrary, it's increasing.
They're running scared from, they're running scared from Bernie and Elizabeth Warren. In the campaign, we call her Aunt Betsy. They're running scared from Warren, especially.
But I think, yes, they are.
Yeah,
it's so funny. And so we have more moderates coming in. We have other people who are going, instead of getting behind the moderate candidates, what we have is more moderates coming in.
What we have coming in here on both hands, on Bloomberg and Deval, both corporatists, both status quo corporatists. That's what they are.
Right.
And the DCCC machine is having a belching problem right now. And Buttigieg has jumped up high in the Iowa polls this last week.
Which is extraordinary when you think of it. When you realize that a gay candidate has made, and he's not only ahead, he's dramatic. He's 25% to Biden's 26, to Biden's 16 or something. It's like, oh my
Biden's
God, and 13. Iowa. It's not Massachusetts.
You just got through saying what he is. He's a white man. He's a white man who's talking sensibly. So they're listening to him. He's another white man. He's a very smart fellow. And I think he's going to go very far in his career.
Well, apropos of that, you and I have talked about this.
But he's a centrist, and he's not what we need at the moment. Then again, that's me.
Well, I understand that he can be perceived as a centrist, and I understand his positions on these things. But what I do want to say about him, and I know that there's all sorts of debate on the left and in the blue voter base and everything. As far as I'm concerned, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Mayor Pete, Beto, I'm trying to think of anyone else in the group that's young and exciting like that. Whatever happens, these four people, those four at least, I hope stick with it. I hope that they keep in the thing, because whether this is their time or not, whether they're too dramatic or not, they are, in my opinion, with their sexual orientation, their color, their mixed race background, their blah, 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 whatever they are, their multilingualism, all of it. They are my shining hope. I am so galvanized and so transported by the thought that those four people not only are in politics, I want them to stay in politics. And my real dream is that whoever wins the Democratic nomination, whoever it ends up being, I hope they take all 10 people off that stage and make them the cabinet and all the positions. I think there's an attorney general up there. I think there's a Department of the Treasury. I think they're all there. And whoever wins should turn left and right on that stage and say, I want you all to be my cabinet after the 4 years of the thugs, neo-Nazis, fascist, corporate-bought, skank litter. You all love when mommy talks like this, orange monkey pudding, skank litter, that orange Führer and his bug wife, his children are skank litter. I want you, that whole cabinet is skank litter and should be tossed into a bonfire. And I would beg that Kamala Harris and Beto and Mayor Pete, and I hope they're on Cory Booker. Get Cory Booker up there as something. Get them all into the cabinet and let's have a shining new world in Washington, D.C. I can't even imagine, even with someone as tepid as Biden, and I find him very tepid. I find him kind of exhausted and you know, he's gray and tired. But with that cabinet, with all those people beside him, you know?
I hope to God, whoever she is, that she disallows any way, shape, or form of Biden getting into office. He's a corporate bad man in my in my experience of watching him over the years, I mean, this is the fellow who ran the money between the corporations and the lobbyists in Washington out of Delaware for how many years?
Right.
No, I really think we need mothering. We need a woman in the White House. And I like Kamala Harris, too. But
yeah,
I believe me, I'm
very much in favor of something else, something more dramatic. I agree. I understand. I'm very disappointed and very discouraged by all this this waffling on stuff.
It's time for a new WPA. We need structural change. If anything's clear, it's that we cannot go forward status quo. We just can't. We're going to lose our republic. That's just a given. And the corporatists that are standing in the Democratic Party and those fearful that without corporations, you know, FDR, and you know this because you're a historian, you know that FDR brought those carpetbaggers and robber barons into his office after the market fell the way it did and the depression was on it. He said, you are going to pay your way out of this. And he made them put the money into it.
And it's heartbreaking that we didn't do that to the banks and the stock market, the Wall Street crowd, and real estate people after 2008. You know, I was watching on the plane when I was flying from Fargo to Minneapolis. Well, no, not that flight. That was 18 minutes long, although I was in first class. It's interesting. I was upgraded to first class for 18 minutes between Fargo. When you fly from Fargo to Minneapolis for 18 minutes in first class, you're given a warm glass of orange juice and a bag of Cheeto crackers, specifically 8 crackers in the thing. But that's first class, so it was nice. Anyway, when I was flying from New York to Minneapolis, I watched the Big Short. With Matt Damon and everybody in it. And it was astounding. The Big Short is one of the finest movies I've seen in the last 10 years. It was outstanding. And one thing it did for people who get confused by all of this stuff, all this Wall Street and economics and banking and mortgaging and la, 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 it explained simply and clearly what exactly was happening, why it was happening, and why Wall Street and banks and the government use confusing language for the populace. They use language that intimidates the working man and makes the working man think, well, they're bankers. They know much more than I do about this stuff, and that Wall Street knows more, and I'm just a plumber. I don't know about this stuff. And it's like, no. It's a shell game with its own vocabulary.
Nothing for the working people. Absolutely nothing. And you're right. It is a shell game. And you're doubly right. That's a decent movie. People go and see it. They get a bigger group.
And the acting is astounding. People are unrecognizable in it, first of all. And secondly, what is Christian Bale? Although he's a psychotic, we all know that he's a psychotic and possibly a psychopath, but his acting is heartbreakingly brilliant. I mean, he took the 70 pounds off that he had put on to be Dick Cheney. So it was really amazing. He went from being Dick Cheney.
That was good, too.
Oh, my God. He was unrecognizable as Dick Cheney. People can't even believe that that was him. People were watching that movie thinking, well, wait a minute. Does he play Bush or does he play Cheney? Where is Christian Bale in the movie? He was Dick Cheney under 70 pounds of fat that he put on for the role. I mean, forget Robert De Niro in Raging Bull. That was astounding to put on the weight, take off the weight, et cetera, et cetera. He put on that weight, 70 pounds, and took it off and became skeletal again for The Big Short. And you have to see the performance he does in The Big Short. Amazing.
Did you hear about the plug that Robert De Niro gave Mayor Pete this past weekend?
Oh, yes.
He seems to think that Mayor Pete knows what he's talking about. I thought that was very broad of him, you know?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I just want to remind everyone, The Big Short, write it down, Big Short, S-H-O-R-T, about the housing crisis in 2008, which Mummy had personal experience with because a couple of her best friends were actually mortgage bankers and were going through stuff at that time and were horrified at what was happening and how they were getting sucked into this whole thing because of their corporations that they were working for and everything, whatever. I want to move on though. Prince Andrew, if you haven't seen Prince Andrew's interview, and you should see his interview about Jeffrey Epstein. All I can say is that the British carry this stuff off better than Americans because their accents are so plummy and so, and he's so, you know, he isn't as handsome as he was when he was younger. When Andrew was young, I was actually startled. To me, he was as pretty as Diana was. You know, Princess Diana was prettier than a royal should be. Prince Andrew was much handsomer than a royal should be. I mean, there were times where he actually looked like a movie star. That's gone, although he still has his hair, unlike his brother or his nephew. But it was mortifying to see him stutter and blow and, you know, blubber, and he was as incoherent as Susan Collins from Maine. He was dithering. He sort of turned into an elderly woman senator from Maine when asked about why he was at Epstein's house, you know. Did you see it?
I have no idea. I'm hearing it for the first time.
Oh, Gwendolyn. Okay, well, after the show, go to the laptop, enter Prince Andrew. He was asked specifically what he was doing with Epstein and what happened, and did Epstein introduce him to, you know, underage girls, et cetera. And he started to blather about the fact that they had had a falling out, and he was no longer able to be Jeffrey's friend because it was inconvenient and unsightly. But then he ended up staying an extra 4 days as Epstein's house guest at his house. So he felt that their friendship was over, but he remained a dinner companion and a guest at Epstein's house because one doesn't do things that are impolite or run, blah, 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 blah. I can't believe that Queen Elizabeth didn't say, Andrew, come home. And she turned to her husband, Philip, and said, Philip, go down to the garden, get a brick and bring it up here and get me a pair of gardening gloves so that I can bash my son's brains out on the Aubusson rug. I need to bash his brains out on an Aubusson rug and then have staff members come here and clean it up. Okay. But Andrew's got to go. I can't even imagine where she's going in her head. She thought Princess Diana was embarrassing her own son. Just, and of course, Britain is rocked by this. Britain is rocked. Britain was rocked by Boris Johnson, that turd with a mop on his head. This is appalling. Andrew has literally become an idiot. I can't believe what Charles must be thinking.
That's what Mercury retrograde was all about. The truth is spilling out all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Next item. Trump is to testify. Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, yeah, right.
Trump is going to testify. He would be better off, and his minions would tell him this, it would be better for you to sit down in front of Schiff and all of them and to put a gun in your mouth on live TV and blow your brains out and literally to splatter your brains up into the ceiling there in the Congress house, the room that you're being interviewed in. It would be better to do that because you would be thought of as less guilty than if you open your mouth. So Donald Trump speaking and actually answering the first question, and you know that the first question would be, could you state your name for us? He would be better off not saying his own name. He would be better off defending his own case by blowing his brains all over the ceiling. He's going to testify. It's ridiculous. Okay? Case closed on that. Next. What? Yes, Gwendolyn.
That is ridiculous. He said he was going to show his taxes. He said he was going to testify to Mueller. He said, you know. And now, segue in. I heard this before we went on air. Apparently, what he wrote down as his testimony to Mueller is now being rebuked with evidence. And so now he's guilty of lying to the Congress, to a congressional investigation. So,
right.
You know, it's, oh my God.
Well, the next item I want to mention on the news, because they're piling in. You see, I literally should have a ticker tape here, like a tape, like the old stock market with the gold, the glass dome with a tape coming out. And I should read the latest headlines, because now the headlines and the news simply cascades, and it cascades into the night, because some of the news is in California. Therefore, you know, it still is happening. 5 o'clock there is, you know, 6 o'clock in the mountain time, et cetera. So apparently Donald Trump has finally managed to get, quote unquote, angry with Pompeo, with Mike Pompeo. So it's not enough that he's thrown 800 staff members and people that he's handpicked into his own bonfire, has fired them or forced them to quit or humiliated them into quitting or whatever. Now, even Mike Pompeo, he's even mad at Mike Pompeo because Mike Pompeo hired people who are now reporting against him, blah, 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 blah. And when Mike Pompeo was asked about this at a press conference, he literally started laughing out loud and saying, I'm not going to address that. If you guys have any questions that the world is really interested in, please ask me those, but I'm not going to address that issue. Now, that could be one of two things with him laughing genuinely. He actually had a charming laugh. It's the first time I've seen him laugh and smile and be genuine, although I would never have dinner with him. At least it looked like his version of genuine amusement. Now, I don't know if he was amused because he, A, has never had any respect for Donald Trump. And so Donald Trump being angry du jour, as it is, you know, his tantrum du jour is meaningless to everyone there, from interns and cleaning ladies to the plumber that just unplugged the toilet to, you know, McConnell. Everyone hears that he's yelling or something and they just go, oh, he's just having another tantrum. Somebody change his Depends. Or Mike Pompeo might have been laughing because it knows that he's about to get notice or give notice or whatever, and so he doesn't care. Whatever it is, it's amusing to see that now even he's been chewed up. I guess that means that Barr is left now to be the next head to roll, or maybe Mike Pence.
Apparently this evening, Barr is on some kind of line because he's been following the Trump version of reality, but he rebuked some of it in his own defense, and they were showing just before we came on air, they were showing on television animated conversation through the window of the White House where Barr was yelling. So
what's that? What, yelling at Trump or yelling at his own people?
Just yelling. They didn't see who else was, but they figured the president was in the room. But a very animated, you know how the media speaks. Says, well, look, isn't this an animated conversation? And it's Barr,
right.
And you can tell that he's yelling. You know, it's very
easy. Oh, for heaven's sake.
The wheels are coming off the clown car pretty quickly here.
Well, I'm trying to find, I have a mental block, and it's because I'm trying to, who's the person who got into the, with Scalise, the, on Fox, the Fox reporter who got into, crisp words with Scalise, senior. Oh God, Fox. The Fox.
Chris Wallace.
It is Chris Wallace, right? He's the older one.
Yeah, he's Mike Wallace's son. Yeah, Chris Wallace seems to have a when I feel like it integrity.
Yes. Exactly. It's funny because I always forget that he is Mike Wallace's son. It's so disturbing that he's Mike Wallace's son. That is,
it is.
So odd.
I think it disturbs Mike too.
But what I love, what you just said, which was just so eloquent, he is, at some point, even he can only eat so much dog poop out of a tin pan. I mean, even he has a gag reflex because it's become so grotesque how Fox has changed Trump's diapers and covered for him. I mean, Laura Ingraham, it's just beyond.
I don't understand when they replay what some of these Fox hosts will say just to make a point on how ridiculous it is. There are a few people I've got to mute because I can't handle their voices. It's funny, I can listen to the men, but that Jeannie Pirro and Laura Ingraham, I just have to mute because if I
and
don't.
And the other
I'll,
one, Anne, Laura Ingraham, Anne, why am I short circuiting tonight? But yeah, Pirro.
It's the cold.
Unbelievable.
It's the cold. That Pirro is some piece of work, man. The word they use for a woman like that, I don't say. I don't say that word.
Yeah.
I never had. I'm a lipstick L.
Yes.
I do not say that word. And her voice is like the shatter of your nerves, you know, like the windmills of my mind, the shatter of your nerves.
Yes. Is it true that Megyn Kelly is going back to, they're going to rehire her? Fox is going to rehire her.
Well, it's the Murdoch sons that are in charge now. So Roger Ailes, you know. Well,
Megyn Kelly. Yeah. I just wonder if Megyn Kelly is going to end up back there. Because it would
they're doing the hiring now, so it's possible, you know?
Yeah. So weird. Anyway, well, back to our stuff. This to see Chris Wallace, you know, finally drawing the line on people like Scalise is hysterical. A next item on our news list is Gordon Sondland. The two things that are fascinating. There are people betting that he will not show up tomorrow. I mean, Wednesday, that he won't show up.
Is it on the board in Vegas?
I just think
maybe
it's hysterical.
Maybe I should lay some money on that.
So people are saying he won't show up. My solution to that is contempt of Congress. It's like,
absolutely.
Forget contempt of Congress. Send a SWAT team over to his house, kick in his door, drag him naked to the gutter and shoot him dead. That's the solution. I think that if we'd stop pussyfooting around here with all these people that aren't showing up, that aren't handing over papers, that aren't handing over tax documents, that are in contempt of Congress, the solution is to take one of them, strip them naked out of their house, drag them to a guillotine, and take their head off. And you'd be amazed how many people, A, would show up for Congress and a hearing, and not only show up, but here's a secret, probably tell the truth and a very elaborate truth from the very start. They wouldn't be doctoring their testimony, squelching their testimony, Fifth Amendment, you know, Sondland might show up. He's lied so many times and changed his story. Now one of the columnists was saying the smartest thing his lawyers could say to him now is that he should plead the Fifth, although everyone will hate his guts.
You can't do that. He already pleaded the Fifth once. You can't do it twice. In front of Congress.
Okay, well, then there you go.
If he shows up, he has to tell them either a lie or the truth. Now, today or tomorrow before he comes, they have witnesses. Well, I feel a real we in there. They have witnesses showing up that are going to testify to hearing him say and hearing the president's voice on his phone.
Right. Oh, yes, that is the story. Wait a minute. The restaurant story in Kiev, that story is absolutely – and I must tell you, as an actress and as a performer and as a writer, okay, if you had a Hollywood team of writers write that scene of someone as forlorn as Sondland holding his phone up and standing up in a restaurant and saying, "This is Gordon Sondland trying to speak to the president. I'm on hold. I know I'm the ambassador to Ukraine, and I'm on hold for the president." And he's doing this so that all these diners around him can hear that and know how important he must be. And then when the phone call finally goes through, you hear the president shrieking as usual, and he's holding the phone aside. And then he announces to his dinner guests that was the president and this, blah, 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 blah. All of that stuff. All of that, "I have no dick and I want to be famous" stuff. All of that, "I have no self-esteem. And so what I have to do is I have to let everyone know that I'm dropping names, dropping my title, dropping the fact that the president of the United States is going to come on the phone any minute now." All of that. That is so pathetic. It is so tweens in junior high school. It is so, "Please let me be a cool kid in the cafeteria of life." Okay. If you asked Hollywood writers to write that, two things would happen. A bunch of Hollywood writers would say, "No one will go for this in a movie. This is so far-fetched that you either have to do this as a silly throwaway sketch on Saturday Night Live," which you know Saturday Night Live is going to do as a sketch, or they would say, "We will write that for you," knowing that the audience of this movie will point and laugh at it being too stupid, it's a farce. And they would charge you millions.
I have the solution to that via Hollywood. Hire Mel Brooks.
Yes,
Mel Brooks
exactly.
Knows how to write it. I'm
And that is, by the way, what my second thing was, which is it would have to be this strange, it would have to be a farcical, surreal comedy, and you would have to pay millions to find writers who would carry it off. And of course, there you said Mel Brooks. So you're talking about someone who would charge you millions of dollars to put that sketch together, direct it, and write it, and that would be in some movie, because no one would ever believe that could be real. And that has been almost every aspect of this presidency. Sean Spicer as a dancer on Dancing with the Stars. Inconceivable. This is absurd. And people 1,000 years from now, if we're still around, will point and stare in amazement at the times we lived through just in these last 2 years. Okay, that's Gordon Sondland. Oh, I want to congratulate Alabama, the state of Alabama. So you're deciding whether you want to hire Doug Jones or Jeff Sessions. Fascinating. Doug Jones or Jeff Sessions, and the fact that Jeff Sessions is running for Senate again as this shrapnel-riddled Keebler elf who barely survived his time with Donald Trump. A Keebler elf with a sweet little hat on and those little ears offering us chocolate chip cookies, and he is literally riddled with shrapnel, his little elf body torn to pieces by Donald Trump, the Orange Fuhrer. It's inconceivable that Doug Jones, and you know what he is, and Jeff Sessions are the two considerations for Alabama. I only can say this. South Carolina came up as my least favorite place this week. It's refusing LGBTQ people on adoption. They're going to make it that they can't adopt children, right? And all I can say is this. First of all, LGBTQ people, you have no business living there. So you already are idiots. And I'm sorry, because I wish I could be more sanguine. I wish I could be more loving. But for you to live in a state where you have punched through the sub-basement of disregard by these people, and all I can say is if you insist on living there for whatever reasons, you know, mom is sick, elderly mom is sick, or whatever, you can't sell your home fast enough or whatever, I just want you to know something. You don't have to take anything they're saying seriously in South Carolina, because South Carolina's big claim to fame is Dylann Roof, Nikki Haley, and Senator Flimsy Graham Cracker. Okay? So any state that would bring you that filthy, low-down, scheming Nikki Haley, a psychopathic assassin like Dylann Roof, who goes into a church and kills parishioners, right? And then the closeted Miss Thing, Senator Flimsy Graham Cracker, who's all aflutter like Aunt Pity Pat at every drop of a handkerchief, a shrieking, shrill, yowling Miss Thing. That's the state that you want to be invested in. I'm begging you, make a statement, make a stand, and leave the state. Say, this state is not fit for me to live in, because for you to stay there and battle it out, wait till Dylann Roof has been finally dumped onto a bonfire. Wait till Nikki Haley's you-know-what has finally been grabbed by her orange pure hero, you know, which is what she should have done ages ago. You know, and last but not least, wait until Senator Flimsy Graham Cracker is seen for what he is, either because he's been on his knees in a Sunoco gas station men's room, or whatever it takes to get rid of him and his hysteria, his perpetual estrogen-fueled hysteria. The sooner, when those three people are gone, then you can move back into the state and try and restore its reputation. But I am just flabbergasted that South Carolina is judging against LGBTQ people with that menu of options. Dylann Roof, Nikki Haley, and Flimsy Graham Cracker. Oh my God, that state has nothing to say to anybody. It has nothing to say to anybody. Okay? So that's where I stand on that. All right, next. We're running out of time. Oh, look at our time. We ran out of time. I was going to read a story to everyone tonight. Okay, apropos of that, I just want to tell you, you've been listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk, which is part of the Here Be Monsters Network on Blog Talk Radio. We're here Monday nights live, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 Central, et cetera, et cetera. Our sponsors are, as always, daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. My producer, of course, is the brilliant, the ingenious, the sorceress, she's fabulous with chemistry sets, Gwendolyn Holdenberry. Look for me on SybilSays.com, SybilBrunchen.com. Look for me on YouTube. Go to the Sybil Brunchen Lollipop Guild page. And I'm going to suggest something. Next Monday, I'm not going to be back in New York. I'm going to be broadcasting from another amazing location. But I want you all to do this. I want you to go to my pages, and I want you to go to Sybil Says or the Facebook pages and pick stories or anecdotes or things that you would like Mummy to read live, like Franklin Roosevelt in his fireside chats. Many of you have been private messaging saying, oh, Mummy, can't you spend a minute to read one of your stories live on the air? And I will do that. So I will take suggestions from you. And what I was going to do was I was going to read the Pilgrim Prayer that so many of you responded to and thought was so funny. And I was going to read that live and do it in. Yes, I was going to read it in Reverend what's his name's voice, but I'll do it next week. Okay, so I promise that I will do that. Reverend Simplicity Carfeather's voice from 1620, and it's called Our Thanksgiving Heritage. I will read that live in time for Thanksgiving. That's very appropriate. Gwendolyn, we're literally down to the minute. Do you have anything you'd like to say? I'm sorry I talked everyone's ear off tonight.
No, the only thing I'd like to say is for people to please stay safe out there, be careful, and be kind, please.
I agree. And I want to add to that, I'm going to adjust that. I want you to be kind to people that merit your kindness. And I want you to be wary and to not be afraid to fight the good fight, because there are some times where on the playground of life, it's okay to draw a line in the sand and call a bully out, because bullies don't understand necessarily kindness. Sometimes they understand a punch in the nose. So you're going to have to learn to be kind and appreciative to your loved ones and to the person who comes up to you and wants to shake your hand. You shake a hand openly, smile, look them in the eye, and say, hi, how are you? You know, but be careful out there too. Okay, Gwendolyn, have you got our theme ready?
I do.
Okay. Everybody, Gwendolyn and I will see you next Monday, and we love you. Good night.
Good night.